Good morning, everybody. How are you doing? Good. Again, one person, just like this morning. So what do we say? God is good, and all the time, right? So even if we're not good, God is good. And we can always have assurance of that. We can rely on that. And sometimes that's all we have, and that's what we need. It's the goodness of God, right? It gets us through the day. So I just want to open with a word of prayer today. Dear Jesus, we just ask you to come into this building, come into this place, Lord. May you fill each and every soul here, each and every soul listening online, God. May you give them ears to hear, God. We just ask that their hearts would be open to the word this morning, Father. I pray that your words would be with me and that you would guide me, God. I submit to your will, Father. We invite your Holy Spirit into this place today. Amen. And today is about the Holy Spirit. We're starting a new series. It's titled, The Holy Spirit Revealed. Now, when you think about the Holy Spirit, a lot of things can come to mind. You might have some preconceptions. Maybe they're biblical, maybe they're not. Maybe you think the Holy Spirit is kind of freaky, or a little out there, a little strange. Or maybe you think it's just something that people say, and like to say, the Holy Spirit. But the truth is, God does move through the Holy Spirit. That's how God enacts his will here on earth. It's through the Holy Spirit. It's tangible. It's not hocus pocus. And too often in church, we refer to the Holy Spirit as an it. Right? We say things like how it moves or what it does. But the truth of the matter is the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Bible is very clear that the Holy Spirit is not just any person, but is in fact God. God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are three and one. They're all a person. We need to change our thinking from the Holy Spirit being a tool that God uses and more of the Holy Spirit being God himself coming to us, being within us. The Holy Spirit is the part that God uses to meet with us, dwell among us. And the Holy Spirit is the part that God uses to have us in relationship with each other. We read in Paul's final greeting, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. It says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. And you can kind of break that into three parts when he's giving his final greetings, right? He talks about the grace of Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And you think of that word fellowship. Some translations use the word communion. It's all about coming together. It's all about living in unity, right? It's all about binding us together. The early church in Acts had a grasp on this. They had fellowship in the presence of the Holy Spirit all the time. They grew in their relationship with the Holy Spirit. They committed their time, their energy, their money to a closer walk with God. God literally met them where they were, and he lifted them into his presence. They were just coming so hungry, so thirsty, so committed, just eager. We'd miss out on what it truly meant to be a church if we didn't put the Holy Spirit first. If we don't purposely seek after the Holy Spirit, we're in danger of becoming nothing more than a social club. Right. Or even worse, a religious institution, meeting out of a sense of duty, because we have to be here. But we should want to be here. We should want to come together, experience the Spirit. The church is not a place to come and to simply learn the law, right? The church is a place to come and to experience his Spirit. It's all about a relationship with Jesus, and that is met through the Holy Spirit. The grace of Jesus, the love of God, it can be felt in a tangible way through the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, it's talking about that early church that I was referring to. There was this day, on the day of Pentecost, when the church got together and they began preaching, they began sharing the word. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came down on them in a powerful way. And they were just, they had flames on their head, and the Holy Spirit fire was there, and they began speaking in all these different languages. And everyone there was like, this is crazy. They feel the presence so strong. And some people who spoke different languages, they understood what was being spoken. Even though these people didn't know how to speak that language. It was a divine intervention of the Holy Spirit. And you see the significance of this? But there was a time in the world where everybody spoke the same language. They all were together, speaking the same language. They're building this tower of Babel. And they build this tower so big, and they're saying, look how great we are. Look what we can accomplish. And God looks down on that, and he says, no, I don't think so. Like, it's good that you're working together. And he said, you know, nothing would be impossible for these people. But since what they're doing is not to please God, it's not to build God up, God causes them all to speak different languages, and they scatter. And in this early church, we see the Holy Spirit come using these different languages and bringing the people back together in unity, the way he wanted us to be together. Speaking a different language, it can sure be a point of division. If you've ever tried to speak to someone who doesn't speak your language, it's really hard to convey a message or to build a relationship or to come together and even work together. It's so difficult. That's such a huge barrier. And the Holy Spirit had the power on the day of Pentecost to overcome that barrier. And right now it seems like divisions are being put into place. Right in our society, there's barriers being put up. We've become so divided on issues right now that they've even started labeling there's different camps depending on what you believe and how you believe things should be dealt with and done. And it's not just in society, but it's crept its way into the churches. And churches, members are going to different churches. They're church hopping right now. Some churches aren't even going to church at all. And it's a shame. But I believe that these divisions can be overcome through the Holy Spirit. Just in the same way the Holy Spirit came and allowed everyone to speak different languages so that everyone would understand, I think the Holy Spirit is the only way that we're going to come together and have these camps be able to unify. And the purpose of the Spirit is all about fellowship, all about coming together. That is how God works. And when you worship, like we did this morning, the Holy Spirit shows up. When you pray to God, the Holy Spirit shows up. He is listening. We need to be spending more of our time and our energy seeking him, discovering him. It should be our desire to know him more and experience him more. If we desire healing in our land today, and if we want to overcome this division that we're facing, then we need to turn from our wicked ways. And we need to seek the Holy Spirit. And it talks about that in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Isn't that a great message today? Right? I know it's really hard to hear sometimes that we're asked to turn from our wicked ways because we really enjoy our sinful ways sometimes. Sometimes we get so comfortable in sinning that when they say turn away, it's hard. We want to keep a certain part of ourselves to ourselves. We don't want to give up everything and follow God, but in order to experience this healing, we need to turn from our wicked ways. And on our own, it's impossible. It can't be done. But with God, all things are possible, right? So we need to look at how we can do that through the Holy Spirit. We want God to hear us. We would love God to forgive us. And we certainly need God to heal us right now. We need God to heal us because we're broken. We're broken physically with this virus we're going through. We're broken emotionally because of conflict. We're broken mentally because of the isolation, the uncertainty. And we're definitely broken spiritually. Right now we are so spiritually dry, just needing more of the Holy Spirit. There's something lacking. But with God, we can attain a renewed relationship. We've got to think of the Holy Spirit as a helper. That is how Jesus describes the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18. Jesus is saying, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. He will be in you. I will leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So when Jesus leaves this world, he dies on the cross, comes back to life, and he ascends into heaven, he didn't leave us high and dry. He didn't leave us with nothing. He leaves behind the Holy Spirit to help us. And thank God he did. Because if he didn't, we would have nothing. So, you know, you hear that saying, you are not alone. Well, you literally are not alone right now. You have the Holy Spirit with you. I have the Spirit with me right now in order to talk to you guys. And you guys have the Spirit with you when you go and share the gospel with other people. And more than that, the Spirit goes before you and he'll prepare hearts of other people who you are trying to talk to. In everything you do, you are not alone. Every step of the way, you know, it talks about how the Spirit goes before us. We sing that song, the blessing. He's in you and around you and in before you and behind you. Always there. Always willing to help. John chapter 16, verse 13. Says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative. But whatever he hears, he will speak and he will disclose to you what is to come. So the Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth. Like it says in John chapter 8, verse 32, that the truth will set you free. So the healing and the freedom that we desire will come because of the Holy Spirit. Because this is a spirit of truth. We need freedom from the world we live in. We need freedom from the injustice in this world. We need freedom from the fear. Freedom from anger and hurt and depression. The world we live in, it can really suck sometimes. Right? Sometimes things are just miserable. We have to deal with some pretty crummy situations. Right? With losses, illness, hurt, disease, broken relationships, abandonment. There's some things that because of sin in this world, that we've really gone away from. And these things begin to weigh us down. They begin to wrap us up in chains and we're left feeling like there's just no way out. I notice a trend in our society today where people are just trying to move away from God, it seems like, and they're getting away from the Spirit. And it's so dry and there's like nothing left in our atmosphere and people are just wondering, like, where is God in this time? We preach tolerance and acceptance, but really, we're just going through the motions. So some things just need to be said how they're meant to be said. And that's why we as Christians, we need to be the ones who care. We need to be the ones where our words mean something when we say them. And the best way to have your words have weight or carry meaning behind them is to start having them line up with your actions. Right, don't just say it. Don't just give lip service, but start living your life according to what you say. And that is what we are talking about here today, about turning from your wicked ways, because that is what we're called to do. That's how we're going to make a difference. And we do that through the Holy Spirit. So I've got a point here. The Holy Spirit has the power to change your nature. Now, change can be really hard. Trying to change your routine, it takes a lot of work. Right? Trying to change bad habits, that takes discipline. But trying to change your nature, what's inside you, what makes you you, that takes the Holy Spirit. And we're born with a sinful nature, so it needs to be changed. And we can't do it on our own. We live in this world that says that you can do it on your own. You know, you just get the right type of self-help book. Right? We're all about changing the outside. Maybe change our appearance, get some plastic surgery, put on some makeup, make ourselves look good to the world around us, and then maybe we'll be better. But it's not true. The change needs to come from the inside out. Some behaviors and actions and addictions, negative tendencies, right? We can't change them on our own. We try, but it's like a roller coaster. One moment you're doing good, you're rising above. Next moment you're down in the pit, suffering again. Say, man, how come I can't do this? You know, I get down on yourself. I feel so stupid. I should be able to do better. You try again, and again, you fail. It's because you're trying to change from the outside. You're not changing your nature. The only way you can change your nature is with the Holy Spirit. We're born in a world full of so much sin. But not only that, we're born into a world, and the Bible says that we pay for the sins of our fathers. That's heavy. You know, I think about my family, my father, my mother, and their parents before them. There's a lot of things in there that I'd rather not have to pay for. Things like addictions, things like depression, anxiety and fear. And you know, as a young child, when I'm born into that, you literally feel the weight of those things on you. You know, you have this thing where you're just all of a sudden you're so timid, you can't leave the house. or you can't make friends, or you just feel miserable and down on yourself. You're just paying for the sins of your father. But thank God that you can come to Jesus. He can offer you a new life. And he can be your father, and he is a king, which makes you the sons and daughters of a king. That is amazing. I am so thankful that I can have this assurance that my father is going to take care of me. And I don't need to be scared anymore. I don't need to have anxiety or fear, because the Holy Spirit can change my nature, which allows me to overcome these things. Amen. It's in our blood. But we have new blood in Jesus. Jesus died on the cross and poured out his blood to give us victory over these things. That's why we have salvation. Changing your nature. We're allowed to be free, and freedom only comes through the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." You want that freedom? You go to the Spirit. Only the Spirit can give you the change from your nature. Changes your nature from an earthly one to a heavenly one. You begin to see things differently. You see the world around you differently. You notice that his ways are not our ways, and that we shouldn't be seeking after the things of the world, because there's so much greater things in store for us. So he changes our nature. And then the next thing is the Holy Spirit has the power to change your attitudes. Once your natures change, your attitudes begin to change. And your attitudes are kind of like your thought patterns, the things inside you, the way you react to situations. So you look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, and it starts out by saying the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Now, who's producing the fruit? The Holy Spirit. It's what we're talking about today. The Holy Spirit is what produces this fruit inside of us. And these fruits are just another word for attitudes. Things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We've heard these things before. But these are attitudes that are displayed by somebody who has a changed nature. Attitudes displayed by somebody who has God in their life and God on their side. Right? You don't see these attitudes apart from God not lasting anyways. Not authentic. Not sincere. Right? The world would be so cynical and look at people like that have these attitudes and they're sincere and they're like, no, there's an ulterior motive there. They're only being joyful and loving because they want to get something out of the world. But that's not true. Your nature has been changed. Your attitude has been changed. You have a peace that can pass all understanding. And the world won't understand it, but that's okay, because they're going to want it. And they're going to want to desire it. And you tell them it's from the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit is just evident in your life when these attitudes are evident. Does the church present these attitudes? Is the church reflecting these attitudes right now? That's a pretty heavy question, because you look at the media, you look at churches, and you look how they're acting, what they're doing, what they're saying. Is there love, joy, and peace? In order to have more unity as Christians and more unity in this time as churches, we need to have more of the Spirit to be present. Just pressing into God, displaying these fruits to everyone around us. Right? We all should be fruit baskets. Not basket cases, but fruit baskets. And some people are in our church. I see so many people in our church that display these fruits, and it's amazing. But there needs to be more of us. The more of us that get on the same page, the more powerful we can move together. You suffer from a bad attitude? Then just pray to God to change that attitude by producing good fruit in your life. God's faithful to answer all of our questions. Right? It says in the Bible, "You have not because you ask not." And Jesus said, "Anything you ask in my name will be given unto you." So if you think it's impossible to change your nature and your attitudes, start asking God. Say, "God, how can I do this? In my own will, it cannot be done. But give me the strength." And day in, day out, you need to pray those things. You know, I'm not there all the time. I need the help of the Holy Spirit. It's not something that's a one-and-done deal. It's something that we continually seek after. Every day we should be experiencing the Holy Spirit. He changes your nature, changes your attitude, and finally, changing your actions. This is big. This is because when your nature is aligned with God and you're displaying these attitudes, it comes out in your actions. This is where you can be a real testimony. This is where you can start reaching people for Jesus because they see inside you that this change is real. You start treating people different. You start having different behaviors. You know, I love to hear people's testimonies because you look at them and you know them as how they are now. And then they say something off the wall like, I used to do this, or I used to do that. And you're like, no way. You did not do that. You did not used to go out and do that and hang out with those people and do those things and end up in those places behind bars. There's no way. There's no way. I know you. You're so loving. You're so on fire for God. You're so gracious. And yet, they have this story, this testimony. And it's amazing how when you see that, you can know God really works. God really moves. And it's only by His Spirit that that's possible. Because there is no way that you should be here. Maybe you shouldn't even be alive today based on what happened. And yet, God was gracious. You changed your life. You turned it around. And now you have the Holy Spirit inside you. And only the Holy Spirit has the power to do that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. This is out of the Message version. It says, His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for Himself. The Holy Spirit moving, breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for Himself. You know, I read that verse, and I think, like, you know, is that true? Is that, like, the most intimate part of my life? People will always ask me, like, where's the Holy Spirit? Or I hear people complain, like, why doesn't the Holy Spirit move like it did in the early church, in the book of Acts? Why doesn't the Holy Spirit come down right now and make us all speak in tongues, have fire on our heads? Where's the Holy Spirit? And they're complaining, and I think, what is the most intimate relationship in your life right now? What is it? A lot of us, the most intimate relationship in our life is with our cell phone, unfortunately. We're glued to it. We're looking at it. It's consuming us. We get wrapped up in social media, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, YouTwitface, whatever. They're all out there, right? And we do these things, and we spend our time and our energy, and all our efforts are going into that. And then we come to church, and we're like, where's the Holy Spirit? Where are you at? Why don't I feel you? Then we go away, and we're like, yeah, that sucked. Right? But how can we ask so much of someone when we're not spending time with them? Think about the relationships in your life. They're really good relationships. You put time in. You put effort in. You spend time with those people. That's what makes a good relationship. You ever gone to a party, and you're like, feel so uncomfortable? And you just like got invited maybe by somebody, but that friend just leaves you there, and you're all alone, and you're against the wall, and no one's coming to talk to you. You don't fit in, because you don't know these people. You don't have a relationship. Even worse, have you gone to a church and had that happen to you? I remember when I was first looking for a church in Lethbridge, Lisa and I were going church to church, doing the Lethbridge tour. And every church we go in, sit, listen, get up, kind of look around, walk out of the church. No one would speak to us. No one would say, hi, how's it going? No one would ask us our name. No one was friendly. And it's crazy. Like, this is church. The Holy Spirit's about fellowship and relationship, and no one's talking to you. And then we came to City Light Church. And I remember we were actually sitting in the back, and we were like, it's a great message. Pastor Doug was speaking. It was a long time ago. His hair wasn't quite so gray. But we were like, this is good message. And we were actually walking out of the door, and someone literally ran after us, said, hey, and like grabbed us and then talked to us, said, hey, what's your name, what you do, how you doing? And I was like, you know what? This is where I want to be. This is where I want to belong. I want to be somewhere where people actually want me, where I'm treated as though I'm desired. And we want to be around people like that. We want to be involved with people like that, right? So the Holy Spirit wants to be around people like that. The Holy Spirit wants to be wanted, wants to be desired. We serve such a jealous God. And all He wants is a little bit of our attention to be in a little bit of relationship with him. And we're losing that. We're not focusing on that. So how dare you say, where's the Holy Spirit? How dare you call on him to come when you're not taking that time on your own, in the quiet, in those places where you're not seeking his face, where you're not praying to him on your time. Instead, you're reading articles on your phone, or you're watching Netflix, or Disney Plus, or any of the other streaming services. You can't dare to ask for him to come and show himself if you're not putting in that effort. You know, yesterday I came into the church to prepare, and there were three ladies up here, and they were praying and meeting with God and having a Bible study. Just women filled with the Spirit of God. And I think it was such a good thing to see. They're praying for our church. They're asking for guidance for our church. And they prayed for me. And I, you know, you could just feel the Spirit. God was there. And he was there because these women have a relationship with him. They take the time to spend with him. So his presence could literally be felt as soon as I walked in the doors because they had that close relationship. It wasn't a church service. It wasn't like organized. They just came, they met, and they were praying. So simple, and yet so good, and so beautiful. And we need to be doing more of that. The more people we have doing that here at City Light Church, we're going to experience a move of God. We're going to experience a move in the Holy Spirit, right? And that's what we want. Who wants to come to church and just be bored every day and listen to someone speak? Don't you want to come to church and see the Spirit and feel the Spirit? Signs and wonders. Relationships. Oh, man. The Holy Spirit will show up if he's invited. The guidance of the Holy Spirit has the power to make you fit to be in the presence of a king. Right, that's what else that verse says. To make us fit. Again, has the power to change us. The power for us to turn from our wicked ways. Can't do it on our own, but we need to press into the Spirit. We need to press in and into Jesus. We need to press into his words and what he tells us, because he's just such a good God. You know, when he's on this earth, he always spoke the truth. He spoke the truth in love. And when Jesus was with his disciples and he tells them that he's going to be leaving, he said, but it's a good thing. He says, I'm going to leave you with the Holy Spirit. It's found in John chapter 16, verse 7. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. As if he lied, right? No. He always told the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Now, I'm sure they were like, what, Jesus? Like, no, we don't want you to go. We don't want you to leave us. We're going to miss you. We're going to miss spending time with you. We need you here with us, guiding us, taking us by the hand, showing us where to go. And Jesus says, no, I tell you the truth. And he says that because he probably knows that they're going to think that it's not true. He says, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go and I send the Holy Spirit to help you. And we know that God always tells the truth. So we need to wrap our head around this and make sense of this. When God was first in the Old Testament, he interacted with people through angels sometimes. He talked to Moses through a burning bush. Right? Moses climbed up the mountain and he said, this is holy ground. Ask him to remove his sandals. And he gave him a word. And Moses went out and led the people. He used an angel to meet with Gideon. He sent someone and said, hey, Gideon, take the battle. Right? Prophets in the Old Testament. He would speak through prophets all time and time again and say, this is where I want my people to do. Watch out for this. Gives them warnings. Tells them what's to come. And then Jesus finally comes in the form of a human. And we had it. We had Jesus on earth. God himself. And he accomplished so much. He did so many good works. He talked so many good sermons. And then the time came for him to leave. And he ascended into heaven. We know he's in heaven because when Stephen was being stoned to death, he looked up and he saw Jesus at the right hand of God. That's where Jesus is. And he left behind the Holy Spirit here today. And he says it's to our advantage to have the Holy Spirit. And you think if Jesus were here today, he'd be kind of be like a traveling evangelist. He'd be going church to church, speaking at different sermons. You know, maybe he'd have to help out if someone was dying. He'd go to their bedside and say, hey, I'm here for you. Or he could perform a miracle here or there and heal somebody. But he'd be confined to his body, stuck here on earth. Instead, he leaves behind the Spirit. The Spirit can be anywhere and everywhere all at the same time. It can work through anyone and everyone. Right? The Spirit of God can be here. It can be at Victory down the street. It can be at E3 around the corner. The Spirit can be in the car with us when we're driving and we're on our own. And the Spirit is there. And we should be talking to the Spirit when we're driving around in places. The Spirit can be with us when we wake up in the middle of the night. And we're lost and lonely. We can't sleep. We need someone to talk to. Get on your knees. Pray. Seek God. The Spirit can be with us when we're experiencing loss. When someone dies close to us, the Spirit is there to comfort us. The Spirit is there to help us celebrate as well, the birth of a new life. The Spirit is there, the joyful Spirit. And not just for me, not just for you, but for every single person on this earth. Because Jesus left behind the Holy Spirit to be our helper, we all have access to the Holy Spirit. Every single one of us. So when Jesus says it's to our advantage that he left behind the Spirit, that's truth. It just baffles me. He can be anywhere, right? When we're at work, or when we're at home, or when we're on holidays. We don't take a holiday from Jesus. He's with us. Everywhere you go, the Spirit is with you. We need to turn back to God, and we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That should be our longing as a church. Do you have fear in your life today? If you have fear, I just ask that you come to the altar. Lay it on the altar. God will take it away. Fear is something the enemy uses to cause division. He uses it to steal our joy like a thief. But God can take that away for good. Not just temporarily, not just superficially, but from the inside. It's a change of your nature, a change of your heart. It doesn't just come out in your actions and attitudes, but it also is in how you feel. It's like there's the fruits of the Spirit, and then they all have an opposite too. And every one of those can be removed. If you give your life to Jesus, you call on the Holy Spirit, the choice is yours. The Spirit isn't some crazy thing. It's not some weird magical thing, but the Spirit is your helper. And he wants to be in an intimate relationship with you. You think of that intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. How can it be so intimate? It's because he knows you. All of you. He doesn't just know the good parts of you that you put on and show other people. He knows those dark, those pieces that you'd rather not people see. Those pieces that you kind of keep into private. The Holy Spirit knows those. Not only that, but he knows those and he still chooses to love us with a perfect love. A love that goes beyond anything you can experience here on earth. He knows how evil we are. He knows how sinful we are. And yet he still chooses to love us. That's why that relationship can be so intimate. Because that's almost instantly we sense that love. We sense that power. We sense the sincerity in it. Don't hold back. Don't put up barriers to that love. Let him in. Tear down those walls. We'd like to run away from this, but the truth is, it's what we need to be doing. It's what we need to be doing as a church to promote this unity. It's what we need to be doing as followers of Christ. Turn from our wicked ways. Let's look at that. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. If my people... Whose people? My people. That's you. That's me. We're the followers of God who call on his name and will humble themselves and pray. And pray. We have a ministry here at church called Pray and Go. And I love that ministry because we're taking the Holy Spirit from our church and we're bringing it to people's doorsteps. We're bringing it to people in neighborhoods and we're letting them know, hey, I'm praying for you. And they can sense that and they know. It makes such a great impact, such a great ministry. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. We need to remember to humble ourselves. We live in a world where we think we can do it on our own. We are so arrogant. We're like, this vaccine, man, we're just going to solve it. Or no, I mean, this virus, we're just going to solve it with a vaccine. It'll all be good. Put it away. Right? We can do this on our own. We don't need Jesus. We don't need God. We have science and money and technology. And pride goes before the fall. We know that. That's not what's going to bring the change. The change is when we humble ourselves. When we humble ourselves and we pray, seek my face. Seek the Lord. And turn from your wicked ways, which we can do with the help of the Holy Spirit. Then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. That's a promise, straight from God. He'll forgive you. He'll heal you. It's so amazing. He's going to hear us. So let's turn from our wicked ways. Can you do that with me? Work towards that goal by just having the Holy Spirit fill us so much. By not ignoring him. Building that relationship back up, being intimate. Can we start that process here today? Process we're all called into. It's here in the Bible. God's telling us at this time, like, that's what he's doing. He's tilling the soil. He's tilling the soil, and sometimes when you're tilling something up, it's kind of aggressive. You're literally tearing the earth apart, and that's going to hurt. And there's a lot of people that are hurting right now. There's a lot of people don't like the tilling. Before the planting, and then the harvest. And it's like a cycle, right? Just like seasons, just like in our earthly way. God, like, I'm using farming right now, just like Jesus. You guys might not understand it, but we live in southern Alberta. So this is farming. You plant the seed, the plant grows, and then the harvest, right? Well, we had a harvest years ago. And people are always talking about the harvest we had. How great it was when the Spirit moved and came in. And you should have seen what was going on. People were falling on the floor. Lives were being saved, people are being healed, and that was great. But the problem is we keep going back to that harvest. We keep going back to that well, and that well is empty. There's nothing left in that well for us to get. So we have to turn to the new well, and that's why it hurts. Because right now the soil is being tilled. It's being prepared to plant the seed. So let's turn to the Spirit, let's get out there, and let's start planting the seed. Let's start reaching people. Right? We learned about being saved over Easter, giving our lives. Now we're learning about the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, and being motivated. And we'll teach you guys how to be discipled and how to go out and share this message, this amazing message that we can't keep to ourselves, but we have to spread. So let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, just thank you so much for your Spirit. I thank you so much for your presence, Father, that is with us. No matter where we go, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, you promise to never leave us, never forsake us. Thank you, Father. Jesus, so sorry for ignoring you, God. We're so sorry for ignoring your Spirit and your presence, God. Help us to spend time each day focusing on you, praying to you, worshiping you, God. Allow us to turn back to you as you turn your face back to us, God. Allow this message to penetrate the hearts of those who hear it, God, that they would just not hear it and then forget after they leave this building, though, but it could have changing power, power to change from the inside out, just like your Spirit, God. I'd like to take a moment right now and just pray with anyone who hasn't started this journey, who hasn't given their life to Jesus, who truly hasn't made that commitment. Say, I want to follow you. I'm all in for you. You know, if that's you here today, I just ask that you would say this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I know I am a sinner. I know you are the only one who can take this sin away. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask for you to come into my heart. Be Lord over my life. I choose to live for you all the days of my life. Amen.